Welcome into a Wednesday. Glad to have you. Thursday.
Well, it's Thursday. Yeah.
I was looking at Wednesday saying again, welcome to Thursday. I don't want to do that to the people. Welcome to Thursday. Sorry about that.
I'd rather have you say Wednesday than Friday, though. We've discussed that. It's better to be behind than it is to be ahead. Because if you said Friday, somebody's waking up going, sweet, it's Friday.
Yay.
And then they get to work and they're like, oh, hell, it's only Thursday?
That's right.
We got Thursday night football tonight, baby. A big one in the Bayou.
I was going to say, are you going to watch Yankees, Guardians, Dodgers, Mets, or Broncos in New Orleans?
Well, the good news is the Yankees and Guardians are on early, so it doesn't conflict with the NFL game, but the baseball game does conflict with Injury Bowl 2024, so probably going to lean a little bit to the baseball, depending on the weather outside. If I sit outside, I'll have both of them on. But boy, this football game tonight, you're rooting for the New Orleans Saints, obviously, to win this thing to keep the Denver Broncos buried and dead. But man, they got a lot of injuries. As Chris Olave is not playing tonight. Rashid Shaheed is not playing tonight. Patrick Surtain is not playing tonight. So to answer your question in a long way, I'll probably be more in tune with baseball unless it gets out of hand like it did last night where the Dodgers just smoked.
Yeah.
The freaking Mets last night. That thing was over early last night in that game. Then Ohtani hits a blast for, you know, good measure. And then here we sit. So,
yeah, they either win 8 or 9-0 or they lose like a 2-run game.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Dodgers up, what, 2-1? Yankees up 2-0.
Yep.
Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred are licking their fingers.
Hopefully they get that Dodger Yankee World Series that they've been coveting for the last, I don't know, 40 years. And I'd be interested, though, to see the ratings on that because they think these big markets generate, you know, the interest. And obviously, look, it does at times. But I mean, if you're not in LA and you're not in New York, it's hard for me to look at baseball and say everybody's watching the World Series because that just hasn't been the case for the last 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's become such a provincial sport. So, I mean, I'm sure they'll get a good number, what they consider a good number, if it is Dodgers and Yankees in the World Series, but still a long way to go before they get there. Could end up being the Mets and Guardians, which the networks may not even televise if that ends up being the case, and they may put another, you know, Saints and Denver Broncos game on instead of the World Series. But no, I think it's going to be Dodgers-Yankees. That's kind of where we're headed right now, so we'll see, you know? Does it give you any solace to lose to the team that wins the eventual championship in sports? I know some people do take like,
well, at least we lost to the
champs. Yeah, like I hear that all the time where the people go, I want the hardest route possible to get. Why?
Maybe if I do like the hardest route possible.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. I hate that guy. Like, oh, we got the hardest route possible. Who cares?
No, I'm saying like if you win it all and you had the hardest route. It's like the year that KU won in 08, like the first time ever all four to number one Final 14. You're like, well, that's historic and you won. So. Yeah. F off everybody else.
But also, everything fell in front of them, too. They didn't have a hard route to the Final Four. They played like an 8 seed, a 12 seed.
They played Davidson with the young Steph Curry.
Yeah, they did.
And then they played North Carolina and waxed them.
Yep, they did.
I think Brandon Rush had more points than the entire team of North Carolina in the first half.
That was Billy Packer declaring the game over. We were watching it when I was living in St. Louis. My friend Vip and I were watching that game with a bunch of the KU alums. It was fun. Watch parties were fun back in the day, right?
Well, when your team's up 40-12.
Billy Packer declares it over, but North Carolina fought back after he said that and ended up being a little bit of a game. But KU with all the one seeds and whatnot, but give me the easiest route possible. Like, I don't need to go to Buffalo and Baltimore again for the postseason. We showed we can do that. We don't need that anymore. Give me Jacksonville at home. Give me Miami at -20 degrees at home. I'll take those games every day of the week. The easier, the better in the playoffs.
I think the narrative works better if you're like in the baseball reference, if you're in the ALCS and lose. But if you're like the division series, like the Yankees still had to win another game or another four games and win the World Series. But like, if you get to like the ALCS and you lose to the Yankees and the Yankees go on and beat the Dodgers, like, well, at least we lost to the
Champs. At least we lost to the Champs.
That, I think, is okay. It's like the AFC Championship game. It's like when the Bengals beat the Chiefs and then got, you know, beat by the Rams, you're like, we should have won that Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of being like, well, at least the Bengals won. They beat us. So maybe they were the better team this year. It is what it is. We'll see them next year.
Yeah, but
that didn't happen.
You know, that was a team the Chiefs just basically sat back. And I think they've learned now you can't take anything for granted, right? In sports, like no matter how big your lead is, you need to keep piling it on. You know, you need to keep just destroying people, put their foot on their throat, make them bleed out, man. Mm-hmm. That's what you got
to
do. So.
Do what Dan Campbell did to the Cowboys. Every time you get the opportunity, do what Dan Campbell. Throw a 50
52-yard pass to your tight end, even though the game's over. Let your speedster wide receiver go catch a Hail Mary. Did you see the audio of, was it Tavon Diggs, the cornerback for the Cowboys?
No, what did
basically
he say?
He just openly admitted, he's like, I can't keep up with him.
Oh,
when
that's
he was guarding
awesome.
Jameson Williams, he's like, I just can't keep up with him. Oh. And the kids just sprint down the field and just burn him. It's like, well,
now if
tip your cat.
Now if you're a speed burner and you're going against the Dallas Cowboys, you know what the secret sauce is, right?
And like, if
you
he's not 8 inches, stuff, he's not getting signed.
He is not getting signed. Boy, the Dallas thing is still a mess down there, which is
love
wonderful.
It.
I absolutely love it. But we finally get a game this week, and it feels like forever since we've had a Chiefs game, right? Because the Royals in the playoffs and the Chiefs having the bye, like, you couldn't have scripted it better, right, for Kansas City?
Not even us.
I know. And we try every week to script it better, but it just worked out perfect. The Chiefs had their final game before the bye. The Royals dominated for 2 weeks, went to the playoffs, ended up losing, and now we had the weekend break, catch our breath, and now I guess you could say it's a big one against San Francisco. They're the team you beat in the Super Bowl every year.
Right.
So you might as well get excited for this regular season game and win this game. And then, like, who are we going to talk about being the competitor to the Chiefs if we go out there and wax that ass in San Francisco over the weekend, you know?
That's a good question. This was the last time the Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers played.
Mahomes flings it. It's there! Hardman! Jackpot! Kansas City!
Boy, talk about scripted.
Yeah. This was the Andy Reid special. This was the Andy Reid special we talked about. He was saving all day. He's going to fake a motion to go across. And at that moment, he turns and goes back. Hardman, who they didn't have, right? And they go get Hardman and bring him back.
And he scores the game-winning touchdown. Super Bowl game-winning touchdown because, well, Kyle Shanahan doesn't know how to call heads or tails in the right moment,
right,
or, you know,
or know the rules of overtime.
That's right.
Yeah, I was talking to
neither
him.
Did I, because I'm the one in the room. I was like, timeout.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, yeah. Everybody gets a chance to have the ball. Like, my buddy's like, dude, stop. And I'm like, what? I'm like, there's 3 seconds left, and he's not calling a timeout. He goes, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If the clock runs out, we just flip the field, and they go all the way back down, and they keep playing. I'm like, because we have a chance to keep that. Okay, never mind. And then it didn't matter because corndog happened and we're all shopping champagne. And
how would you have liked, like, a never-ending game like the California Trail 4 overtime game? Could you imagine that in the Super Bowl, though?
I'd have hated it.
I mean, my God, a 4 overtime Super Bowl win would have been
six.
But that would have been fantastic. But so you get this rematch. Do you look at San Francisco as the best team in the NFC right now? Because there's a lot of good teams out there right now. I think the Chiefs are I don't want to use the term great, but they're better than everybody else. They still have their warts. Everybody does. But you look around the NFC, Philly's not really there this year. Dallas obviously is not there this year. I like Minnesota and Detroit. I don't know how much the rest of the people like Minnesota and Detroit, but because San Francisco's always been there, I feel like they always get that nod. Like, yeah, they're still the team in the NFC until they're not the team in the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's different. Because I think that, and I don't know how to make sense of this take, and maybe you guys can help me. I think San Francisco is regarded as the best team in the NFC or the most powerful team in the NFC because of star power. They see Kittle, Debo, Ayuk, Purdy, all those guys.
Right. That's a lot of star
power,
bro.
And I don't want the Texans to come at me and be like, Purdy, star, stop it.
Stop. He kind of is.
He solidified himself as a, like, starting quarterback for that offense,
right.
Whatever it is.
Whatever
he's,
it is,
he's
man.
Their quarterback. He's quarterback's. They get carry.
If we're going to talk good on Baker and Sam Darnold after a few games, like, come on, Baker's been doing this for 3 seasons.
And so, but do I think they're the best team? No, I think it's Detroit or I think it's Minnesota.
Right.
Now, why I say that is because is San Francisco heavily rostered with superstars, Pro Bowlers, defensively and offensively? Absolutely.
They got a named roster, man.
Right. But Minnesota, what Kevin O'Connell's doing with that team, I think they're better.
Mm-hmm.
What Detroit has done with the vibe of Dan Campbell, I think they're better. I think Gibbs and Montgomery give them a complete backfield. I think LaPorta, I think that Amara St. Brown and Jameis Williams, I think they're great. I don't think they're as popular as Brock Purdy and George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel. So, yes, San Francisco's good. San Francisco and Kansas City, in my opinion, have flipped roles. Maybe I'm wrong here as well, but I feel like every time the Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers play each other, the coverage is, well, the Chiefs have the offense and San Francisco's kind of got the defense. Now they've had Fred Warner and Bosa in the past. Obviously, not everybody on the same defense, but I feel like the teams have flopped.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco ranks third in points, second in passing yards, third in rushing yards, and eighth in points total.
And that's with a lot of injuries on the offense, too. Christian McCaffrey hasn't played. You know, Debo Samuel has had his injuries.
He's
Brandon
Ayuk's been
banged up. George Kittle, you know, sometimes he shows up, sometimes he doesn't. And so those are amazing numbers. And that's why I think you got to give Brock Purdy a little bit more credit. Even I'm coming kind of around to the Brock Purdy camp now. It just works. And sometimes you just don't ask questions. And sometimes certain guys are perfect for certain situations. And Brock Purdy seems like he's a good fit, obviously, you know, out there in San Francisco. But I do like your, you know, team versus individual take, because that's where I've been for a while now in sports. I'll say this is a better team. People go, well, they got this guy. It doesn't matter.
Look at the Chiefs.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Like, who's the stars, right?
Kelce, Mahomes, and Jones.
Right, and people say Kelce's washed. Mahomes can't throw the deep ball anymore, and Chris Jones is on the last years of his contract, right? But they're still the best team. And I was talking to my buddy Joe last night, you know, bringing the steak, egg, and cheese bagel back. Thank you very much, Joe. And we were talking about like Brett Veach. And and I don't know if we had this conversation or I was just talking with Joe, but like the most important hire that Andy Reid has made outside of like maybe Steve Spagnuolo has been Brett Veach as the general manager of this team, because you're not going out there and spending a bleep ton of money on stars, but you're drafting like it's nobody's business. And you're continuing to keep this team on top because you get the right players at the right positions at the right times. And then you bring them in here and they're coached up by the best coaching staff, you know, right now in the NFL. And so I think right now, like we get caught up in names a lot in sports, and, oh, we don't have this guy. You recognize the name. It doesn't mean they're going to lead you to wins and lead you to talents. The best teams ultimately win those championships. And that's why the Chiefs have been on top. They're the best team top to bottom in the NFL. 1-53, they have the best roster in the National Football League.
And we give you the offensive numbers from San Francisco. The defensive numbers for the Chiefs: fifth in rushing yards allowed, seventh in total yards allowed, sixth in points allowed.
It's going to be a hell of a game, man.
Something must give in this game against the Niners and the Chiefs. Something must give along this show, but we will take all of your attention away from your day to keep you entertained. We will have the head coach of the Crest Ridge Cougars come on the show at 8 o'clock, the football coach. We'll have him on to talk about that push that we can get. They're now at over 30,000 likes on Instagram. Ben Maller's got a huge announcement that you'll want to listen to around 7:25. 7:25, you'll want to hear that. That's Bob Fesco. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Mac Morey. And we get to the definition of a rivalry because, well, it's misused. Listen to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Let's get right into it here on 96.5 The Fan. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, and Mac Morey, our executive producer, part-time host on After Hours. Also, Fantasy Football Sundays at 9 a.m. So when you get up on Sunday at 8:30 to watch who? Jacksonville
and New England this weekend, baby. You got it.
You guys want to make a bet on the show that Drake May has a better game than Trevor Lawrence?
I wouldn't take that bet.
Okay. That's not fair.
I know what Trevor Lawrence is. Not real sure about Drake May. I'll take the unknown, really, in this category over the known in Trevor Lawrence. Like, again, stop paying fringe players in professional sports. You didn't need to pay Trevor Lawrence at all. And so what if he walked? What are you missing out on? Meh?
We'll dive in a little bit more to this San Francisco Kansas City game and give you the definition of a rivalry. I'm not kidding. Like I'm not kidding, because like I think people need to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've found your new favorite football coach. You don't know what's coming.
Okay.
So this is yesterday on Pat McAfee's show. Went back and watched some clips. Maybe I missed something. Indiana's football coach, when they were talking about expansion, because we were talking about Big Ten and Pac-12, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This was his definition of what he's worried about on expansion.
Yeah, coach, the Big Ten obviously expanded west, and I'm just wondering, like, how does that affect your travel schedule? Are you guys able to go out on Thursdays, and do you think it's as big deal? I think you guys were the only win up until this past weekend out west. Do you think it's as big of a deal as they've been making out?
Oh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
So yeah, I got a certain way I do things, right? And I've learned from a lot of people, but like, I like to have our Friday walkthrough here and our meetings here so the guys don't miss class in the morning. And I like to get to the hotel as late as possible. I don't like spending a lot of time in a hotel, and we'll get there, feed them, maybe have a quick meeting in the evening and get up and play. So, you know, my weight guy and my director of football ops, they've got all these designs, you know, like go out Thursday, this is what you got to do. Well, I mean, we played out at Weber State, Utah State, some of those other places before. You
Weber
know what
State,
mean?
Yeah.
No. We ain't doing that, guys. You know, we're going to get there as late as possible. Okay, we're going to wake up and we're going to play the game and we're going to come back. That's what we did. We got to the hotel about 8 o'clock at night, ate our meal, went to bed, woke up, played 3:30, kicked their ass and came home.
Love that guy.
Do you know his name?
Yeah, it's Kurt.
No.
It's like, I don't want to butcher his last name, but it's like Kurt Kigetti or something like that. That's Indiana.
I don't know how to pronounce.
Sounds like a pasta dish.
No, it's like Carchetti, from The Wire.
Yeah,
It's like Sagetti or Spaghetti. It's something like that. I'm terrible with names, but it's something very Italian or Sicilian.
Is he the same guy yesterday who said Google me too? Like, is that the same coach?
The Indiana football coach.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to because we don't know who you are. But I do like that though, because there's like a lot of these, you know, these professional teams now, and I think the Royals are in on it as well. They hire these sleep experts, right? Mm-hmm. And I was talking to somebody the other day because I'm like, wait a second, the Royals aren't coming back after the game in New York that night. They're going to sleep in New York, then fly back on the off day. I'm like, that doesn't make much sense. And the Yankees were doing it as well. I'm like, man, what happened to the days of getting on that plane after a game, flying, getting to where you're going, sleeping in that city and waking up there? They go, oh, it's better for the body. And we've got all these sleep studies people set around sports now that do this kind of stuff. So I don't know what's right. I'm kind of with him though in Indiana. Get in there as late as you possibly can, play the game, get the hell home.
Like every kid loves eating dinner at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because you pass out immediately after.
Yeah.
And then you wake up and you're like, all right, I'm energized. I'm full of sleep. I got to do my morning routine, whether that's number one or number two.
Right.
Hit the practice field, get your juices flowing. All of a sudden, kick their ass and get out.
Get out of there. Yeah. I do like that. Like, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
The more time you can spend at home, you know, the better. Keep them in the creature comforts of their home. Don't get everybody out of whack. Because, you know, it is like you're traveling, you know. But using Weber State in this example is a big one, too. I don't even know where that is.
It's kind of like your wife, man. She like flew to Chicago, ran her marathon, got in her Uber, flew home. It was like it wasn't even a trip. It was like you just went to like Springfield and back and drove your car.
That's kind of what she did.
It kind of takes the mental part of it out where you're like, oh, we're not in L.A. or I'm not in Chicago and it's not Sunday. It's just like felt like an afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not speaking from her perspective, but I assume that's kind of how it went.
Yeah, like, real quick. I mean, except for the 26.2-mile jaunt, you know, in the middle of that thing.
But once that's over, it's like your mind goes to Uber, to airport, to home, to like, oh my God, it's 9 o'clock and I'm in my own bed. It's like, I don't even feel like I was in Chicago.
Exactly. No, it works out good that way for a lot of people. Good for the athletes to get them back, you know, home as quickly as you possibly can, because nobody wants to be hanging out on the road, you know, walking the halls of a Ramada Inn or whatever the hell they're staying in.
Plus, who wants to stay in a hotel for a long period of time?
No, you don't.
You don't want to feel like you're there.
Have you ever spent much time in a hotel? I spent 89 days in a Best Western when I moved to St. Louis. 89 days in a hotel. Thank God it had a balcony.
So that's almost 3 months.
Yeah. One day short of 3 months.
Damn.
Thank God it had a balcony, because that was the only way I was getting out of that room. Like, no matter how nice the hotel is, it's still a hotel room, right?
Were you part of a jury?
No, I was when I moved over to St. Louis, and so it was like temporary housing for, you know, 3 months. They gave me 90 days. I used 89 of them suckers.
I'm going to guess you didn't use the pool or the hot tub.
There was none, I don't believe.
Ah, the Best Western?
Yeah, I don't believe there was. But there was a Chili's attached, if I wasn't. It's either Chili's or Applebee's. I know Mac would have been down to the bees.
That would have been dangerous.
Yeah.
I know people think that I'm like super sarcastic. I own that because it's kind of like my thing. Do you want to read the definition of a rivalry?
Yeah, I can read that one for you. It's the competition for the same objective or for superiority in the same field.
So in simplistic terms, in football, which would be the same objective, right?
Yeah.
And then superiority, which would be to be better than your opponent.
Right.
On the same field. The Chiefs and Niners are, guess, a rivalry because the Chiefs are more superior than their opponent more often than not in the same objective?
Well, it's an either or. So you can take either the first statement or the second statement. And I think it's the first statement that applies to this one. Competition for the same objective, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs and San Francisco are both competing for the Super Bowl. Let's call it what it is. At the beginning of the season, 5 to 7 teams that can truly win the Super Bowl, San Francisco's on that list. The other thing, though, that doesn't really apply to many other teams. I think it applies to maybe Cincinnati, but that's kind of becoming a fringe team right now, right? Like, is Cincinnati really good anymore? I don't know.
They got to get a new coach.
They do. Applies to Buffalo, I think, at this point in time until they lose another game. Mm-hmm. It applies to Baltimore, clearly. But it doesn't apply to anybody in our division. It doesn't apply to the Broncos. It doesn't apply to Oakland. It doesn't apply to the Chargers at this point in time. And I've said for a while,
Mahomes like 16-3 versus the division or something stupid like that.
Yeah, I mean it's better than that. 16-3 on the road like last year. So, yeah. You know, like his numbers against the AFC West are just remarkably stupid at this point in time. But so competition for the same objective. So I do think San Francisco, like, and I know the old guard gets mad when I say the Raiders aren't a rivalry or the Broncos aren't a rivalry or the Chargers. Owner rivalry. They're not. Go back and look at the records of, of what we've been doing to those teams. Rivalries, in my opinion, are kind of back and forth. There are challenges involved. You need to beat them to get to where you want to go. And the teams in our division just don't embody a rivalry right now for the Chiefs. They're more of that mosquito that's hanging on after the first freeze. Like, what are you still doing here, right? Go away. Shoo. And that's kind of the division right now for Kansas City. The rivals to me are Buffalo. It's Baltimore, Cincinnati, maybe, and then I think in the NFC, if you look at it, it's obviously San Francisco. And that's about it, because there's just not enough teams that are on the same level of the Kansas City Chiefs. So I do think this is a rivalry game going in, but it's been a one-sided rivalry, you know, for the most part. Like, when was the last time San Francisco beat us in a game, right? We got the last two Super Bowls, and I believe the last regular season game
that they played.
Yeah, that's right. It goes back to that the Patrick 18. Mahomes pass to Chris Conley. Yeah. So it's been a very long time since San Francisco has won a game against Kansas City. So you're talking a decade.
Yeah.
Yep, he, 10 years ago.
And in the regular season, Patrick Mahomes shreds San Francisco. So in the most recent game, 2022, he was 25 of 34, 423 yards, three touchdowns, one pick.
That was a big game out there in San Francisco, if I remember correctly.
That was the
first
McCaffrey game.
Yes.
Remember, they're like, I don't know if he's going to play. And then it was like, of course he's going to play against the Chiefs.
Right. And then Kansas City stomped him in that game.
They did. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Juju had a day that game,
he did.
Too.
And he, Mahomes threw for 423. And then Mahomes against him in 2018 was 24 of 38. 314 yards, three touchdowns, no picks.
That was his first home game.
And that was the game where everyone says he arrived.
Yeah.
Because that was the squirmy round and about in the back play, then hit Conley in the corner of the end zone. And that's what made everybody, I was at that game, that's what made everybody in the press box jump up and go, oh, shoot.
And it's okay to do that because you're watching something you've never seen before, right? Like, it's greatness. And, you know, I love watching Patrick Mahomes play because you just don't know what you're going to get every single week, right? Some weeks maybe you don't get, you know, the highlight reel plays, and that's cool, but there's always those moments where he makes these big moments happen, and he rises to the level of the moment, too. I think this is a big weekend for the Chiefs. Like, they may not say it, you may not hear a lot about it because it is an NFC game, but this is the 49ers. This is the team you have to beat every year to essentially win the Super Bowl. It's a nationally televised game. And let me ask you this, and I know we'll probably get into this as the next 2 days take place. Patrick Mahomes is playing in front of Tom Brady for the first time, right? Mm-hmm. Tom Brady's calling the game. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, 1-2, I think it's fair to say right now, 1-2 in all-time history of the greatest quarterbacks in the league. You got to think Patrick Mahomes wants to go out there and impress Tom Brady too, right? Like, and go out there and say, hey, Tom, you had a great career, love the facelift, but I'll be honest with you, I'm coming and I'm kicking your ass right now, and I'm going to show everybody that I am better than you, and I'm going to do it right in front of you, and I want to hear Tom Brady say great things about Patrick Mahomes.
Should be awkward for Tom. Because he's playing his childhood favorite team and their stadium. And obviously he grew up when they were in Candlestick.
Right. Which and I still he's an owner of the Raiders, but whatever.
I still think that was a cool stadium, Candlestick.
I'm not a multi-purpose stadium fan.
It had that weird
because of the baseball thing, right? Yeah. Where nobody sat.
No. But yeah, and by the way, 31-5 against the AFC West is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, 31-5.
That's
right. He's lost five games against the AFC West. Years ago on the show, and I don't remember how long ago it was, Brother Ryan and I made this bet, like in the next 5 years, will the Chiefs have more than five losses against the AFC West? And he said, oh yeah. I said, not a chance. And 31-5, baby. 31-5 is where this team is under Patrick Mahomes in the AFC West. It's remarkable, man. It just is. Rivalry in the AFC West? Not really.
There is none. Obviously, we haven't played the new facelifted Houston Texans. I'd like to see that.
Right.
Baltimore is brewing because they won a regular season game, but then they lost the AFC Championship game, then lost the first game this year. So to keep it fresh and not stale. I think the Cincinnati rivalry is getting stale.
Yeah.
I think it will always be there because you have people like Ja'Marr Chase that are going to lean into that, you know, bad guy role or heel role, as a lot of people like to say it. And then you have guys like, you know, Alex Gold, who I think wears his Chiefs fandom on his shoulder and is always going to hate Cincinnati. And, you know, there's people that have the argument that like to go back and forth. And then there's people like, well, we won a Super Bowl. What'd you do? And it's like, okay, well, I guess I can't say anything to that because right. you've just debunked the argument. But Cincinnati, I would say, is still there because they still, to me, you can still picture them beating the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. And I know they didn't win the Super Bowl and the Chiefs have won 2 cents. So,
but always sticks with you, Dusty. Right,
It's like Missouri and Kansas don't really play each other anymore.
Right.
But there's still that Missouri friend or there's still that Kansas friend that will randomly text the opposite and let them know they exist.
Mm-hmm.
That's Cincinnati in a nutshell.
I mean, Missouri still does get my blood boiling, and we haven't played them since, you know, ever.
What'd you say
right?
the other day? You were jogging, and some guy goes, how's that KU football team? You're like, I don't care.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It was after that loss to Illinois, I believe. I was out running, and my neighbor, Ken's like, how's that football team?
Yeah,
like, not
right here,
good.
Ken.
Yeah.
So I think that's there. I think Baltimore's there because I also look at rivalries, and maybe I'm wrong because we read the definition, but I also look at rivalries as you have to have some sort of competition that is either equal or of the same, which is the same definition. And they have to also kind of be able to get you, right? Like San Francisco doesn't talk a lot of crap.
No,
like,
they don't.
When Philadelphia lost the Super Bowl, they were like, oh, James Bradbury is like, that wasn't a hold. Like, I didn't do that. Like,
man,
it's like,
we all saw the video, James.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And then Juju was able to be like, here's a Valentine's Day card.
Right.
And then you look at last year's Super Bowl, and I think the stat, I'd have to go back and look, but I think I tweeted out, Kittle, Ayuk, Debo combined for like 86 total yards.
That many?
In that game.
Wow.
In that Super Bowl. And
Kittle had two.
And the thing is that They didn't really talk a lot of crap before the game.
No.
And they didn't really do any afterwards. Like, San Francisco's almost like the gentleman of the club. Like, they're like, yeah, we lost. We effed up the coin toss. We gave Mahomes a chance. We lost because we beat ourselves. They didn't say anything that the Chiefs got away with anything.
No.
They didn't say anything like that.
Did the Chiefs get away with anything in that Super Bowl? I can't remember if people were complaining about the refs.
Yeah, the holding.
Yeah, the holding call.
Oh, that's right.
Offensive line.
That's right. Because somebody had asked me this week, how many holding calls are the Chiefs going to get, you know, swept under the rug on Joey Bosa?
Niners Twitter's already making excuses.
It's already coming
hard
and strong.
And not only that, but Debo's podcast, your guy, George Kittle, and him had a conversation about the Chiefs.
It's going to be an outstanding matchup. You know, they undefeated, I think, still.
Yeah, they're undefeated.
Playing at a high level. Niners playing at a high level. I think it's a great matchup.
Mahomes is Mahomes.
Yeah, for sure.
He's amazing. Kelce just decided to get really hot like the last 2 weeks.
I know. That's your guy.
Travis is amazing. Yeah, I love Trav. But he, so they've got that working out. They've got some major injuries on their team too, which is, you know, but they're still finding ways to win. And like, that's the hardest thing in the NFL is finding ways to win. Anytime you have Mahomes and Kelce though, you're probably going to find a way to win. And then I would also say this is probably the best defense we've gone against this season. Like, that's what, you know, we've talked about already in our tight end room. And they have a lot of really good playmakers out there. Chris Jones is an absolute monster.
Definitely.
And, like, can't leave him one-on-one. Like, he's going to probably get an Aaron Donald treatment where you just always slide to him, get four hands on him 24-7. Yeah. I mean, I can't wait. Like, these are the games that you play football for. It's a game of the week. You got Tom Brady talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's gonna be really fun.
Your team captain.
Finally, a team that says what you'd like to hear. And I'm not saying that every team has to bend the knee, which I don't think they really did that there. But they're like, hey, they're 5-0. They still have Travis Kelce, who for some reason got hot the last 2 weeks. Of course he did, because they're getting ready to play us, right? So they feel like what the fan feels. And that's what you love to hear. And I don't think that every team has to be that way. Like, I would love to see the Raiders continue to try to make fun of the Chiefs, because the Chiefs, I think, need that.
Mm-hmm.
I love how Baltimore is like, we didn't really lose that game. Like, no, you did.
No,
the final score indicates
that
you lost 27-20. And then there's the Niners, right? They're an NFC team. The two teams that I had talked about previously to that were AFC teams. But you look at what the Niners say, like, we're probably going against the best defense. This is probably the biggest matchup of the year. Tom Brady's calling it. It is literally the national game of the week at 3:25.
Does Fox have another game, or
no,
is this the only
this
one?
Is it.
This is it.
This is it.
Yeah.
And obviously, you can watch Red Zone if you're sick of watching the Chiefs. But like, if you're sick of watching the Chiefs, you're going to watch this game because you think San Francisco has the best chance to beat them. And it's, you know, a battle of last year's Super Bowl, but it's almost like as close as that game was, like it's a completely different Chiefs team. And Kittle talked about it. Like they have one of the best defenses we have to face.
Yep.
And that's all they're talking about in the tight end room. He talks about Aaron Jones or Aaron Donald and Chris Jones being one of the same.
Yeah.
And then Mahomes is Mahomes.
And Mahomes is Mahomes. Yeah. And that's why, like he says there, what I've kind of been saying for the last few years, that I think a lot of people don't want to hear. Mahomes knows how to win football games, right? There's something about certain players that when they have the ball and it's late, they have this clutch gene. Derek Jeter, Michael Jordan, Patrick Mahomes. Those are the three guys. Tom Brady, obviously, mm-hmm. in that category as well. There's not many of those guys in professional sports that just know how to win. And Aaron Rodgers is not one of those guys. He does not know how to win. And so Patrick Mahomes, you know, you look at him and you're playing against Patrick Mahomes and you're like, we cannot ever give an inch because he'll take a mile. It's really remarkable to watch. If somebody makes a mistake, Patrick Mahomes recognizes it right away and takes advantage of it. And so you have to play a flawless game. Asking 11 guys on defense to play 60 flawless plays, 60 times 11 is a lot of plays, right? It's going to be almost impossible to do. And so when they make a mistake, Patrick Mahomes is going to capitalize on it. I mean, he's remarkable at doing those type of things. And that's kind of that it gene that he has. And, you know, listening to those guys, I don't want to say they sound defeated, but how many times do you really hear a team talking up another team like they just did right there and talked about the Chiefs being just immovable force right now in the NFL?
Yeah, we talked about the final boss yesterday. That's what the Chiefs are. Like, you get to a video game reference, like you get to the final boss of a team, the Chiefs are that final boss. Like you have to play it perfectly. And if you want to win or you want to beat them, you've got to find those little nooks and crannies to get into so that you can find a way to beat them. Otherwise, you're playing King Koopa at the bridge. And every time you try to cross it, the bridge falls out, you fall in the lava.
You're done and you don't have a chance to win. And so that's what other teams are looking at right now. And, you know, Cincinnati's already taken care of. Baltimore's already taken care of. Like all of these teams are starting to fall by the wayside. I think you go out and you beat the San Francisco 49ers, even the people that are kind of holding on for dear hope that somebody can beat the Chiefs have to recognize, wow, they're going to be 6-0. They beat San Francisco. Like, what's left right now for this team to go out there and try to give them a test? I don't even know who they – oh, is it the Raiders after San Francisco, right? They play Oakland.
Yep. Yeah, the 27th.
Yeah, so they go to Oakland after that, and that's going to be a circle game because –
I think they'll be in Vegas,
Wherever the hell it is.
That
Tom
Oakland.
Brady may be there, too.
Tampa Bay may be in Oakland.
Tampa Bay may be in Oakland, yeah. The baseball team you're talking about. Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be a wild scene to see what happens there. But you're going to the Raiders, and that's going to be a game that I think everybody's going to want to get their popcorn ready for and sit back and watch them take on the Raiders, because I think that's going to be the game where they really explode for points.
Yeah, I can't wait for Sunday. I can't wait. Because obviously it's an NFC team, but it off, you know, you put yourself at 6-0 after a bye, then you're basically 7-0.
Right. And then you're facing Tampa Bay on Monday night.
We got to go to that game, Mac.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a good one.
We got to go to that Monday night game.
Whew.
Bob and Binkley can do the show on Tuesday. I'm kidding. We'll be here with smiles on our face.
You just stirred up Binkley, though. He's already driving in now.
He's like, yeah, you needed me on Tuesday, the 35th. I don't even know what day it would be. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. Coming up on the other side, ownership.
I know what day it'll be.
Ownership. Yeah.
Well. Trade deadline day.
Oh, okay. I thought something else. ownership and what could be a cool duo of the such. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back into it, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports, and Fesco and Dusty in the morning with Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. Getting ready to dive into this wonderful matchup at 325. Love that slate. That's a perfect slate. 325, game gets over about 6:35, 6:45. Eat dinner, put on Sunday Night Football.
Who's Sunday night this week?
Come on. Jet Steelers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
TJ Watt versus Aaron Rodgers.
I was going to say Russell Wilson playing maybe, right?
Yeah, possibly. And then there will be a famous celebrity in the crowd to watch the game as well.
Taylor Swift's going to the game? That's awesome.
No, I believe it is someone who does not like her will be there. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers gets to make his Davante Adams debut. By the way, Davante Adams expects to play on Sunday night.
Yeah, I would expect him to play. That hamstring really heals fast. You know what it is, though? When you fly all the way to New Jersey, and I'm gonna, like, my mother truly believes that, like, if something's wrong with you, you got to go to a doctor in New Jersey. Well, they have the best doctor. So I'm just going to take her advice. You know, it's almost 75 years old, 74 years old this year. So Davante Adams must have seen one of those wonder docs in Jersey and got this thing fixed. It's amazing, man. 2 weeks with a hamstring injury as a wide receiver. He's going to play. Wow.
He saw the same doctor that fixed Aaron Rodgers' Achilles tendon.
That's right. Magic sauce out there, huh?
Said he'd be back by December. And he's like, actually, I don't think I'm going to make it back by December.
He's still not made it back. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd mentioned yesterday Tom Brady buys stock in the Las Vegas Raiders, which is interesting because you do realize who's calling the Super Bowl.
Tom Brady is calling the Super Bowl, okay.
Which means one of the biggest storylines of the Super Bowl is being able to go and talk to the opposing teams, right? Like, which team do you want to get, you know, information from? Tom Brady can't do that.
No, I guess not. I mean, but some teams are going to allow it. Again, we talked about it yesterday. Dallas is going to allow it. Like, if I'm the Chiefs, I'm not allowing Tom Brady to get any information. I mean, I'm sorry, man. You own the Raiders now. Like, go have fun on a broadcast and see what you can do. So it really is a conflict of interest for a lot of people in all of this. And I don't think his broadcasts are going to be that good if you don't get that inside information and kind of know what's coming, what the plan is. Because those coaches, I don't want to say required by law, but the network spent a lot of money, okay? Yeah. They get what they want. And these coaches sit down and meet with the broadcasters and get them to go to practice and in their facilities and all that kind of stuff. This guy's now a team owner. To me, it is a huge conflict of interest. But also, if you're Tom Brady, what are you getting, $375 million or whatever it is to do this for the next 10 years? Like, you're not going to turn down that kind of money. The league should have said to Tom Brady, one or the other, right? It's one or the other. If you want to own the Raiders, then you can't continue to work at your network job. If you want to have your network job, then you can't own the Raiders. And honest to God, if Tom Brady's on a broadcast or not, ain't gonna matter. People are going to watch these games regardless of who is broadcasting them because the NFL is so popular right now. So they really should have laid down the law on that. So if Tom Brady is in other teams' facilities and other teams allow it, they created the mess. And so they're going to have to live with this mess now that is an owner of a team broadcasting games, wandering certain facilities, getting information you may not want him to get.
Which is interesting because Tracy McGrady, a.k.a. T-Mac, and Vince Carter, maybe the greatest dunker of all time, are in talks to buy a minority stake in the Buffalo Bills.
And I love that. I think that is fantastic. Two retired players buying in on these
of
teams.
Of opposite sports.
Of a different sport, exactly.
It's
right?
Like Mahomes and the Royals.
Right. It's 100% like that. And I don't have a problem. I think that's really cool. I think that gives teams street cred, right? Like, if you're a young player and you're hitting free agency and Buffalo's interested in you and Vince Carter calls you, like, what are you going to do about that, right? Like, what if Vince Carter calls you and says, hey, we want you to play in Buffalo? Or maybe Tracy McGrady picks up the phone and says, hey, come play in Buffalo. I think the Royals have already used Patrick Mahomes in getting Bobby Witt to sign here long term. Like, I think that matters. Star players, athletes, they like to be associated with stars. And Buffalo's doing the right thing. This is because franchises are so expensive right now. You need that cash influx. And so you're allowed to sell part of your franchise. I mean, I wouldn't hesitate if I'm the Hunt family to sell a little bit, maybe to a former athlete. Maybe it's going to be Patrick Mahomes in the future or Travis Kelce or, you know, Chris Jones or somebody like that in the future. But I think it's really cool, Dusty. I don't know about you, but if I'm a player and Vince Carter called me and said, come play for my team, I probably go play for that football team.
Yeah, I mean, the age gap from Vince Carter to what's relevant now. But I mean, you never know what kind of kids do their sports history.
Yeah. But everybody knows Vince Carter, right? Like, he just retired yesterday, didn't he?
Well, you just got introduced into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But I don't know if everybody knows Vince Carter.
You don't think so?
I think probably TikTok helps. You know, you're just seeing like, oh, Vince Carter was a problem, and you're seeing him in a Toronto throwback just jamming. So that's what you think of it. So you probably don't know him, but you know, oh, wow, that's Vince Carter.
He might have the greatest dunk in NBA. It's not even an NBA game. It's the Olympics.
Yeah,
he dunks on that guy, like literally on the guy. Like, I mean, That guy knows Vince Carter's anatomy inside and out. Yeah. he literally knows. Like, yeah. Vince Carter would be able to play for Jerry Jones, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
What is there like a sort of like somebody that you'd like to see own like the Chiefs or the Royals?
I'd love to see, and this is so bizarre. I don't know why this was like the first name. It just hit me. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see Frank Clark have a piece of the Chiefs.
Oh, God.
Not because his last name is Clark and the Clarks and all that kind of stuff. I just think he'd be fun to have around, right?
Like, you'd get postseason interviews nonstop.
I mean, Frank Clark would just be awesome to have around the facility,
so
right?
Yeah, your postgame interview with him after the AFC Championship game is still classic.
Still a classic interview. Yeah, absolutely. Do we have that in the system? We can play that. I think I sent that to you guys a while back. I was kind of going through my phone of, you know, some of these old interviews. But find that Frank Clark interview. Let's
Palmer
play a little bit of that.
Palmer tried to ride your coattails.
He definitely did, yeah. And, you know, it worked out well for him. It did. I mean, everybody thought he had the interview. It worked out well. Oh, okay. I mean, God love him. It worked out.
You were going elsewhere.
Oh no. He stole my stuff, and it worked out well for him. And he's still playing it today, and got all the credit for that. Mm-hmm. So, but I lubed Frank Clark up, baby. I mean, I got him going, and then he just continued to go and go.
So Frank Clark
would be fun. Yeah,
I would like Jared Allen and Tony Gonzalez. They both would get their rings with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
I thought Jared Allen's time in Kansas City was cut short due to circumstances that were unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
It still breaks my heart that he went to Minnesota and had like 3 years of just dominance. And then Tony Gonzalez, obviously, he's an Atlanta Falcon lover.
Right.
Wanted to go there, which at the time I didn't mind.
No, it was the right decision.
How he decided to verbalize his exit. But those guys owning a part of the Chiefs to get a ring, because Mahomes is going to play here for the next 10 years, and I guarantee he's going to win at least one more ring.
At least one more, right?
Before his career is over. Could be this year for a three-peat.
If they only win one more in the next 10 years, you're going to be disappointed, right? Or not.
Is it the three-peat?
Yeah.
Like, if they three-peat.
Yeah, if they win this year and they don't win another one with Mahomes,
I'm good.
You're good.
Okay. I'm good. I know some people will never be satisfied with that. But, like, yes, that'd be four Super Bowls in the last 5 years, blanketed with a three-peat.
Yeah.
Dominance, greatest franchise ever. Doesn't mean they don't go. Doesn't mean they're successful. But, I mean, you win a three-peat in four Super Bowls out of five attempts, and you never win another one
like,
in the next 10
years. Are you even showing back up for OTAs?
I don't need to. I'll talk about them. Yeah. I'll tell you how great they are. But I would literally – like, I would be the guy in the is-so-facto conversation where it's like, yeah, three-peat, four titles in 5 years. I don't know what to tell you, but, I don't care.
Yeah.
And then so I'd be like, oh, well, how do I come back from that? You don't.
Yeah.
Until you really can win three in a row.
Right. Yeah.
It's like the Patriots. We have six.
Yeah. Great.
Awesome. Well, we have three in a row.
Yeah,
we have four in 5 years. So.
I think 3-0 is more three in a row is more impressive than winning the six total, because it was done over a long period of time. Not to take anything away from that.
Right.
Nobody's ever won the three in a row, right?
Yep.
You win three in a row, you do become the best franchise and the best dynasty in American professional sports.
913-586-7965. I want to know, have you ever been awkwardly forced to do something? That's the question, because the topic we have, it seems like that's what we will have on Sunday. 913-586-7965. Have you ever been awkwardly forced to do something? We'll explain what that means on the other side. On 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.